Current State on WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. Every Tuesday, we partner with the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism and the Great Lakes Echo to bring you a segment featuring environmental news here in the Great Lakes region. This week, we focus on lead poisoning. A story from Environmental Health News reports that lead poisoning in children in Detroit has decreased 70% since 2004. However, children with excessive lead levels in Detroit still exceed the national average, and funding for lead cleanup is dwindling. Brian Benkowski is a senior editor and staff writer at Environmental Health News. He told me that the lead poisoning can mainly be attributed to old paint.
Most researchers agree that the number one cause is older homes and the lead-based paint that was used in them. Lead was banned in paint in 1978, and as I say in the article, Detroit has a large number of homes that were built prior to that. I think 94% of the homes were built before 1980, so that's the primary cause. But also, in Detroit and these industrial cities, there was lead smelters and other outdoor sources that continue to kind of plague the city's children.
And for the record, Brian, what are some of the effects of lead poisoning in kids?
Mark, it's primarily neurological. So it's been linked to in many, many health studies to decreased IQ, behavioral issues, antisocial behavior, things of that nature. And also there's some nascent research, and maybe not so nascent in some instances, that it's linked to violence, an increase in violence in children.
Okay, but it's a cognitive issue that could very well show up in school or performance
very
in
much
school?
Very much so, yeah, yeah. There was a recent study out of Detroit that took a look at lead poisoning in children and then test scores on the MEEP exams. And there was a clear linkage between children that had been exposed to high levels of lead and performing much lower on test scores.
But there's an issue, apparently, of industrial dust as well on top of the houses?
Right, right. As I said, most researchers agree that that the primary cause is indoor paint,
yeah,
paint dust from older homes. But also Detroit and Cleveland and Chicago and Milwaukee, there used to be, in some cases, some neighborhoods still are, a lot of industry and lead smelting in some of these areas, most of which is gone now. But there's still this legacy lead buried in the soil. And it's shown that in the summertime, when there's more dust and kids are outside, that levels spike in children. And that's primarily from those outdoor legacy contaminants.
There has been a dramatic decrease in the number of kids who have lead poisoning just since 2004, under 10 years, from 10,000 or so to under 3,000. What's this decrease all about?
Right. Yeah, I think there's many factors. One was this confluence of both health research and this realization that the city's kids were heavily poisoned by lead. There was very high levels of lead in Detroit, and about a decade ago, between the health research and that realization, I think there was a real strong effort to get rid of homes, to pass laws that made landlords take care of legacy lead and paint, more screening programs. And like most things in Detroit, this wasn't a purely municipal effort. This was both city and nonprofits. And it was a real group effort by a lot of folks in the city to tackle it.
Well, it not only is it cleaning up old houses, I guess, but Detroit, as everybody knows, is shrinking. Some of these old houses are getting demolished too.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Mayor Dave Bing has a initiative to demolish, if I'm correct, something like 6,000-7,000 homes, or maybe it's 10,000, and he's already done 6,000-7,000 homes, and that's certainly part of it. I mean, it's a city with a lot of older homes, and the more you can get rid of these contaminated homes, the less children are living in them.
When a house with lead in it is demolished, is it being demolished in a way to curtail the lead dust? I mean, are there standards for that kind of thing or not?
Right, right. That's a good question. And that's not something I got into in the article. And I would imagine, I'm assuming that there's some protocols so they're not leaving piles of lead dust and other old contaminants.
I only ask because the stricter standards seem to be having an effect here.
Sure.
Partly.
Sure.
Partly, at least. So I'm just curious how far those standards go.
Sure, sure. You know? Yeah, and I'm sure there's protocols protocols for that, but that's not something I specifically looked into.
A lot of the money in this cleanup efforts come from the Center for Disease Control, but funding for cleanup efforts across the country has been cut, as the article noted, from $30 million to just $2 million, a real dramatic cut there. Is there any fear that the funding cuts will diminish some of the momentum that Detroit's making?
Yeah, for sure. There's quite a bit of fear. I don't think it's any secret that Detroit has quite a bit of financial and political turmoil right
sure.
now. And most people I talked to said that, you know, the federal funding was heavily relied upon to tackle lead. But, you know, there is some HUD grants. There's some state level grants that are still kind of picking up the slack here. But certainly, you know, anytime you have that kind of decrease, and I want to say about $1 million came to Detroit from the CDC every year to tackle lead. So, you know, anytime you take away that amount of money, it's going to be some consequences.
And still, despite this improvement over the past 9 years or so, still 10% of Detroit kids age 6 or younger still have levels of lead that are considered excessive. The national average is just under 6%.
Right.
So.
Right.
The article also points out that lead poisoning or addressing lead poisoning, I should say, in effect pays for itself. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, the downstream costs of lead poisoning, you know, whether that's in the education system having to have bolstered special education, or in as I said, it's linked to violence. So if you look either further downstream into the jail, you know, the jail system or juvenile detention centers. The cost of preventing children from having this neurological impairment in the first place, it ends up paying for itself. Much like, you know, I think one of the Wayne State researchers compares it to like a vaccination program, where if you have this upfront cost of preventing this illness, this sickness, which you know, lead poisoning can be compared to an illness, you know, you don't have these downstream costs.
The environment in Detroit has, in a sense, become your beat. It seems like so many of the environmental problems in the city stem from trying to clean up the city's industrial past, which is renowned, of course. Will we be cleaning up messes 40 years down the line that we're making today?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, Detroit's such an interesting case and such an interesting place to be a reporter because it's...
Well, the economy is being reforged, really.
Right.
The economies everywhere are being reforged,
right.
But in Detroit, maybe even more so. And it's arguable that there will be a whole lot less manufacturing in Detroit's
right.
future than there has been in its past.
Right. And I mean, you're looking at the first, there's been some cases. You look at Pittsburgh, which was primarily a steel economy and it's transformed. So there's some cases, but not on the scale of Detroit where you're trying to have a city become this post-industrial place. And the most interesting thing, in my view, with Detroit is the amount of land and kind of what they want to do with land use. And I think that'll go a far way in terms of cleanup, in terms of what kind of economy is going to move the city forward. I think that land use question, and there's all kinds of crazy ideas out there, and I guess it's time to throw them against the wall and see what sticks.
For all of its challenges, Detroit strikes me as an exciting place to be in a way, because the future is so unplotted. It's drawn an awful lot of young people with a lot of energy to the city. Dan Gilbert is playing a huge role in revitalizing commerce in Detroit, I think. What's it like to be in Detroit, to be there at all? At this time,
right? No, I couldn't agree more. I absolutely. I think it's one of the most fascinating places in our country because you have this large contingent of middle class and lower to middle class people, you know, hardworking blue collar type folks, and that have primarily made up the city for so many years, and then now you have this undercurrent of the creative younger folks that are trying to make a change. And those two groups of people, for me anyway, having grown up in the Rust Belt here, are just such fascinating people to be around and to see the different ideas being thrown around. And I have a lot of confidence that the city's gonna make a big comeback here.
Brian, will the appointment of an emergency financial manager for Detroit, will that have some kind of impact down the road on these environmental challenges that Detroit faces in terms of cleanup, lead poisoning, what have you?
Well, that's hard to tell right now. I don't know if anybody really knows the trajectory of what Mr. Orr is going to do down there. But I know with his appointment, the idea is, and hopefully he brings this to the office. I mean, the number one goal is public protection, public health, public services, you know. In a city where streetlights are off and crime is endemic and there's these environmental challenges, I hope that, I hope those environmental challenges go along with the streetlights and the crime and the poverty, because, I mean, these are all under the umbrella of quality of life, you know, human health and protecting the people of the city. So I guess the best I can say is I hope that's part of his plan.
Brian Benkowski is a senior editor and staff writer at Environmental Health News. Brian, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Mark.